I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. We become a part of time.
Hi, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a very interesting show for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. And before we get to the main topics this evening, I would just like to thank everyone out there who has emailed me this week, and also to let our listeners know that I'd really appreciate those emails as well as your suggestions concerning content of topics on ET Yoga. And tonight will be no exception to that. Some of the emails this week have asked about the Billy Myers situation and our take on that, as well as the effects of television and some of the new technologies in the world today. And that'll be a focus of our program, as well as information from Bashar. And last week I got a ton of emails concerning, avian flu. And our last week's show, we talked about healing the known and the unknown. If you missed that, you can always go to BBS Radio, and that show would be archived. And that's from the May 1st show. And lots of information there concerning healing the known and the unknown. And in conjunction with that, you can also go to MaxwellGreenSite.com. That's Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, site.com. And that site's actually called Healing the Known and the Unknown. I'd like to also say that very positive feedback this week about that show. So again, if it's a topic that's on your mind, it's a good place to start some research. And I guess I'm going to just kind of talk a little bit about some of these new technologies, or not really new technologies, but the way some of these technologies are being used today, specifically the television, the computer, and the cell phone. And just my own belief and through research that I've been doing with regard to these topics, I'm going to share with you this evening several sources, extraterrestrial sources in Pleiadian comments on these topics, as well as the Syrians, and even Archangel Michael and Archangel Zadkiel, and quite a few perspectives on this new age technological world that we live in. And my biggest concerns, frankly, that I see in my own life are the effect that I see it has on young kids. And I see families that are allowing sort of way too much time, in my opinion, to young kids becoming addicted to the internet and television. But more specifically, what I'm seeing in my own life is that, yeah, people come home and from school or work, and all of a sudden they're all off on their own computers, and 3 or 4 hours later, you know, some of the kids are going to bed, and, you know, that's the evening. And I know years ago I was in the habit, too. I'd come home and flip on the TV, and it seemed like it was on from the time I came home to the time I went to bed. So, you know, I can totally relate to all that. But the shocking thing to me is that it's you know, seemingly such an innocent little activity, but I know from doing the research that, for example, on the television, that actually what takes place is that it actually is a kind of a hypnotic state. It actually, after a few minutes of watching television, it's called a reptilian brain, is on mode, and it's actually opens you up to all kinds of suggestion, just like you were in a hypnotic session. And a lot of current research has been done that anything that emits emotion has a direct effect on your DNA. So one of the questions I've always asked is, who do you want programming your DNA? And especially when a lot of that content is fear-based or victimizer-based. And it's been shown that the DNA contracts when negative emotions like fear and anger and hate take place, and it's certainly very expanding when the DNA is programmed through unconditional love, compassion, gratitude, etc. And of course, there's ramifications of watching too much television. I've been told it lowers the frequency of the immune system, so it ties in with that whole range of influences in our society that are in that same vein. The fluorides in the water help to suppress the immune system, the metals, and are not beneficial to DNA. chemicals that are on fruits and vegetables, the chemtrail spraying in the skies. The latest I've heard from those is the content of some of those chemtrails contain barium, which probably long-term has cancer effects, but in the short-term suppresses the immune system. And what we're kind of seeing in with television also suppressing the immune system, we're seeing a kind of a bombardment on all sides of toxicities, weakening the power of the immune system, and why we highly recommend an ET Yoga doing detox programs, and also just generally finding ways to boost the immune system, like Egyptian healing rods and like doing thorough detoxification and eating proper nutrients, as much organic content as possible, and foods that contain monatomic elements, which can be found in a natural vegetarian diet. And another thing about the technologies that's really concerning, as well as it being sort of a depressing thing for the immune system and the programming, is that some of the material from Dan Burrish, for example, at Project Camelot, he's talked about some of the extraterrestrials that have come back in I guess one dimension or another, that have indicated sort of a future probable Earth human that didn't turn out kind of like we'd like them to see, kind of non-emotional and to the point where they've even lost the ability to reproduce. And I think this is a very solid link to the technology and where we seem to be headed with a lot of the technology. We know that studies have shown that too much television use tends to lead to a more isolated and paranoid existence. And one that's less emotional. And I've seen this too with some of the young kids that were seemingly all their needs can be met, you know, in that little tube, whether it be the television or the internet, and interacting less and less with kids their own age and even the parents, and seemingly requiring less affection. To me, that's very very concerning. And some of the comments that I have read from Pleiadian channelings one quote in particular stands out in my mind, and that is the one about there would be a study done one day and all people with debilitating diseases would be shown to be chronic television watchers. I think that's a real an amazing statement. And you know, and I know for a lot of people that kind of seems like way out there someplace. Well, after tonight's show, maybe you might change your perspective on that. And the other thing that kind of really is amazing to me is some of the research that's been done on cell phones. And of course, I think it's clear if you start to really do some research on the hazards of cell phones, you start to realize that there's been a high increase in brain tumors among young people. And I know there are a couple of spots in Europe where they've actually made companies take down cell towers. And it just amazes me that there isn't more knowledge out there. I mean, it's because everybody uses them, like, people think they're just totally harmless. But most of the research I'm seeing indicates that about 20,000 hours of use on a cell phone is sort of a prerequisite for making you a prime candidate for a possible brain tumor. And to me, that's not very good. And 20,000 hours happens in a hurry. I mean, if you think about an average person using, you know, 20 minutes a day, 30 days a month, 600 minutes a month, you know, 7,200 minutes a year, well, about 3 years, and there's your 20,000 hours. And frankly, I was shocked about 6 months ago. I heard about some specials from the cell phone companies, especially for teenagers. You know, call five of your friends for free type of thing as part of your package. Well, I can only imagine how many minutes people rack up in a day if they're phoning five of their friends. It's probably not limited to, you know, 20 minutes a day. Maybe it's pushing 1 or 2 hours in some cases. And to me, that's very concerning for young people. And I'm hoping that the nature of ET yoga typically is totally positive and self-empowering. And some of the emails this week asked about this topic. And so I'm going to, you know, lay it out there as far as giving people a heads up on some amazing research and the channelings from extraterrestrial sources concerning these topics. And I'm going to start out on that note with from No More Secrets, No More Lies. That's Patricia Corey's book. And this is the Syrians that give this information. And they say, imagine the power of being able to broadcast hypnotic suggestions or commands to millions of viewers without their slightest awareness. This technology has existed for some time now, and it has been tested not only upon individuals, but also in pockets of the society without your consent, without your knowledge that such insipid manipulations of the free will zone are taking place right under your collective noses. What if the subliminal message were to obey or go to war or to kill? You're told, of course, that no such technology exists. No advertising agency will admit to using these covert and manipulative tactics, and yet you experience them. And back when the dark forces directed their test film, The Exorcist, involved creating study groups of audiences who were the guinea pigs of some of the first widespread applications of subliminal sound overlays. And your response to that level of sound and embedded graphic images was monitored, registered, and analyzed, setting the groundwork for much of the methods being used against you in today's advertising and media programming. And this, in our understanding of universal law, constitutes invasion of the free will of sentient beings, and anything but democratic. And they further contend that we believe that it's time that you bring this assault of your lower energy centers up to full awareness as part of the preliminary to your preparation for ascension. And once you see with your conscious minds that which is being planted in the subconscious, you will be free to reject it. In doing so, you strengthen your experience and understanding of true freedom while emitting crystal clear waves of heightened vibrations from your enlightened minds. Waves of integral mind that are washing over the dams that far too long have restrained the flow of human consciousness. The river of human spirit, free to run its course, will cleanse the earth zone of the dark waters and their reflection in your collective soul. And they even ask that we observe 5 minutes of television and advertising and make it a conscious experiment to consider the number of commercials and the breaks and how much actually content is television and how much is advertising and the level of the sounds that are raised from time to time with respect to how this affects your viewing. And I think that this is, certainly a subject that bears a lot more serious attention. And, of course, I've always felt like the Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn, was sort of the classic extraterrestrial book. And even in the Pleiadians, they recommend strongly that you get rid of your television sets. I mean, pretty much what I try to tell people is to try and structure your television time sort of it's severely limited. Like, watch that, you know, favorite sitcom or the news or whatever it is that you think you need for a certain amount of entertainment. But when it becomes abused, I think this is, and abuse to me is, average people watching, 30 hours of television a week is, or spending that amount of time on the internet, which has the same impacts, is, to me, it's abusive. And as the Pleiadians say, that these tools of television and the internet are the primary ones to manipulate your consciousness on a day-to-day basis. And further to that, I guess, if you believe in Bashar material, that, the spin that you put on outer circumstances creates the reality, creates the experience, then, the spin that is being put on the news and what's happening in the world, if somebody else is putting the spin on it for you and you're buying it, well, then I guess it's a way of actual reality creation. And the Pleiadians say that, this experiment is so finely tuned that you respond subliminally to disease even via the television. And they go so far as to say that there's an entire generation that is killing itself by watching television and supporting the medical society while they're doing it. Sometimes liberating information is broadcast, perhaps even a New Age show. However, you may watch such a television show about how uplifted and unlimited you can be, while subliminally you're being hit with a frequency that keeps you from original thinking. And this subliminal keeps you immobilized and holds you in a survive, arrive, go on time, be silent, go to work society. Television also promotes inactivity and a sedentary, obese life. And they say, look around you, wake up, humans. Most of the subliminals on television are done through technology that was developed in conjunction with off-planetary beings. Well, of course, if you don't believe even that there are such things as extraterrestrials, then I guess no problem. And the use of subliminals to upset human consciousness has become a worldwide program. If you think about how the houses that have 2, 3, and 4 televisions in them, and I know for for a fact it just seems to be, the cool thing. If you've got the money, you better have that, 52-inch plasma up there. And it's an amazing, successful marketing program. And some people who know about the subliminals on television feel that they are immune to them. However, the effects of television are so permeating that no matter how clear you say you're going to be, you cannot counterbalance what the technology is presently doing to your vibrational frequency. And they say, as a matter of fact, if you really want to evolve, do not read your newspapers, do not listen to the radio, do not watch television, and if you're able to be media-free for periods of time, and you disengage yourself from the frequency of chaos and anxiety and stress and hustle and bustle and temptations of all kinds that you don't need, you begin to get clear. You begin to listen to what's going on inside of yourself and to live in the world and not necessarily be lost in it. You become clear, and we cannot emphasize this enough. Electronics also jam your frequency. Plus, as and this is from the Pleiadians, as we have said, many of them are designed to create static so that you will always stay at a certain vibratory rate, turning you into safe, harmless, inactive cattle. And they go on to say, what about the computer? The second most predominant piece of hardware in the United States is the computer. How many of you go to work on computers and end up getting headaches, particularly when you work for large corporations and are hooked up to their mainframe? Large companies are into aspects of mind control. They use your minds to generate energy to achieve something for themselves. Personal computers are not as potent and powerful. And I'd like to also mention that from also from No More Secrets, No More Lies, Patricia Corey's book, the subliminal sound messages are overlaid into the audio of television commercials, imperceptible to the consciousness, but perceived at the subconscious level. They are also transmitted via the internet. And you are just beginning to recognize the dark potential of such technology. We call upon you to use your great discretion when approaching the internet vehicle. And it is of great importance that you take the time to prepare yourself spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and to protect your energy fields whenever you enter this technology web. You can significantly alter the vibrational fields coming from your computers and entering others by willing that your thoughts and intentions are to raise the intention of all conscious travelers moving along those wires. And they actually give a sort of a something to say to yourself when you enter the field of the computers, and I'd like to share that. It says, as I enter here, I ask to be surrounded by white light, call upon my spirit warriors to shield me from all vibrations that are not of the highest order, and asking that those unwelcome energies be bounced back to their source as is appropriate to their evolutionary pace. I send my grounding cord into the below, dropping like an anchor deep within the body of the mother, as I hook solidly to the earth. And as I embark upon this journey, I ask the light ones to guide the way, infusing the grid with the light strings of the universe. And also from Barbara Marciniak's, one of her newer books, and that's Self-Empowerment. And she quotes in there that from the Pleiadians that the media captures your attention and then programs your imagination, essentially canceling out your unique creative drive to manifest your own reality as well as your desire to know yourself. You have been conditioned to believe that all you need to know can now be found in the wonderful world of electronic boxes and the information and entertainment they hold. When the news is slanted toward a message of continuous war, a state of depression and a sense of hopelessness is created. A paralysis of power takes hold because you become convinced that the only reality is what is described and prescribed by the authorities in the box. Reality is created and produced by each and every one of you, and those seeking to control the world have kept this knowledge a well-guarded secret. And, you know, there was a reference, you know, made by the Pleiadians to the effect that disease can be spread via these sources. Well, interesting to note on David Wilcox's site just recently, the following discovery was made by a Russian researcher, Dr. Vlail Kazhnichev, and his groundbreaking study where he proved that a disease could be energetically transmitted into healthy cells, hermetically sealed at a distance. And this proves that viruses are not simply physical things, and that they are frequencies. And he used existing tissue that was already veering towards dead because it has been separated from the protective biofields of the host organism. He was then able to send the energy frequency of viruses into these separated, unprotected cells. The frequency of the virus alone was able to rearrange the genetic material in those separated, unprotected cells and spontaneously generate the virus, thus causing the infection to form. And in this article, it says, though the Russians understand this energetic component, thankfully the New World Order neocon faction does not. Well, that's debatable. And this is why hardly any of their purported attempts to infect large numbers of people ever actually work out. And they also say that even if they did understand the frequency component and found a way to use it, that still wouldn't be able to hurt people. Now, Russian pyramid studies clearly showed that higher intensity torsion fields automatically out-resonate anything that could be harmful to life, even turning toxic poisons into inert safe substances. So my point there would be that, well, yeah, that's true that I think the pyramid power would shatter and those things, but how many people, you know, are using pyramid power? And, of course, again, that brings up the topic, let's say, of the Egyptian healing rods, because they are like being in a pyramid every day, and we've, you know, constantly try to tell our listeners about the amazing positive benefits of using Egyptian healing rods. And finally, on this topic, I wanted to share, for those that haven't heard this before, the gift of supreme clarity. And that's from Archangel Zadkiel. And he says, pay attention, if you must, to media. And if you feel so called, pay no attention. It is important for you to make your decision now. You will either decide to continue to be engaged or you will not be engaged. Do not be on the fence with this one. It will bring great chaotic energy into your life. If you wish to truly unplug from chaotic energy, do it now. Either go deep into it or unplug from it. We are offering to you the gift of supreme clarity. You may experiment and say, I will for 1 week not be involved in media. We offer you the opportunity to unplug from the newspaper, TV, radio, and all that gives you information that is asking you to judge another. Does not this information ask you to judge? This war killed this one. Make a judgment. These people, make a judgment. This war, make a judgment. This experience, make a judgment. There's not even one piece of information that comes to you from the media that does not ask you to make a judgment, even if it is subliminal. What would your work week be like without judgment and without judgment from other stimulus coming into you? What would your week be like if the only judgment you had to deal with was that you brought up within yourself? What if you spent a week looking at just the judgments that are still there? Give yourself this opportunity, and as you do, make your decision. Know that all decisions are perfect. There is no better way. There is no right way. There is no wrong way. There is only way. You decide which way. Perhaps after your experiment, you say, too much for me, I must be involved. Then we ask that you be very involved. Read it all, listen to it all, and bring your heart to it all as you do. However you express through your heart, is indeed imperfection. If after a week you say, I choose to continue in this new position, then choose to continue that way. There will always be those that will be willing to bring the news to you. We can assure you, you will not miss it. There are many who wish to talk about it. There are many who spend their lives obsessed with the news of others. There are many who spend their lives obsessed with judgment. You must understand that the gift of this is that we offer an opportunity for the density to be very, very real. Do they not? They hold very firm anchors in density. What a blessing. Bless them for their judgment and bless them for their commitment. For the choice they have made to stay in density. For as they anchor density firmly, they offer for you a greater opportunity to activate your lift, to no longer walk on the planet, to simply be here as one who is a custodian, a guardian, one who loves, one who sees the truth, and one who understands. And that's from Archangel Zadkiel. Supreme Gift of Clarity. So, moving on. Actually, quite a few people interested in old Billy Meyer. And I'm going to mention that, I guess it was way back, over 20 years ago, that I came across this book, UFO from the Pleiades. And it struck me. My gut said that this is true. I have no contact with Billy except through, seeing the odd piece about Billy. And most of it, you can call it disinformation or attacks or maybe you choose to believe it, that, Billy put on a hoax. But he's been certainly attacked a lot. Although, in my mind, I've sort of disregarded all that and always felt like, there's definitely something here that's valid. And then I came across some comments that Bashar, and if you value Bashar as a source, as I do, a quite interesting little conversation with a person who said that, this would have been a couple years back, that in this past month he visited a Swiss citizen, Billy Meyer, who had an 11-year ongoing encounter with UFO contacts with the Pleiadians. And to some degree, not as much lately, his last encounter was in August of that year, which is a couple years ago, and his original mission was to make all the UFO contacts and information known to the world. And yes, says Bashar, and it was done. It was done, however, he has had nothing but regrets for doing this. Yes, because of the reactions of your society. They've been very bad. He's had another attempt on his life and is in seclusion, but I did get to see him. All right, that is why to some degree, not in a very strongly accelerated manner, but to some degree, some of the Pleiadians are also contacting other individuals as well. But do understand, and this is from Bashar, that Billy chose to be one of the vanguards, one of the forerunners who would take the brunt of the ridicule. Many things have become twisted. Much of the information is now no longer reliable because it has been interspersed with false information. But the ice has been broken. The job has been done to some degree, and in a very real way, Billy can relax a lot more than he thinks. Now information is being spread to other individuals. He is not bearing the brunt alone. Although he may have created for himself a little bit of a rut where he thinks he is burdened by the entire weight, he is not. Some of the things he is experiencing now are due to his own reactions of becoming caught up in the idea of the intrigue, which he did to some degree bring out in other people. But it does not necessarily have to be quite so strongly focused in that area at this time, for he is no longer bearing the brunt of the entire dispersal of the information. And this person said, yes, but very recently there was a 2-hour broadcast, which was on national television, and the program seemed to be very informative on UFOs, and the announcer did make a statement that, of course, the Billy Meyer story was a hoax. And Bashar says, well, we understand, yes, that statement was made based on certain information that they did not research thoroughly. It was based on information that has come to light to some degree to discredit that particular idea. Understand that they could say no more than that because they had no more information than that. The purpose of the program was to focus on the idea of the interactions between your society and the society that is called Zeta Reticuli anyway. Those were comments that were made because they felt they were necessary to add into the idea, but there really was no information or research that was done. That statement, in a sense, was quite off-handed. While this does not take into account all of the facts, the statement was based on the idea that at one point in the contact of the Pleiadians with Billy, when some of the photographs were taken, Billy constructed a model so that photographs of it could be taken to see if there was any difference between photographs of the model and photographs of the real ships. The idea was that it could be proven that photographs of the model could be detected as such by knowing that those photographs were photographs of the real ship because of the difference in quality between the two. And the model was found and taken to be proof that Billy Meyer had faked all the photographs. The statement made on that program was based on that and other assumptions. That is why they could not really go much into it. They had not really done their research. And Bashar says, as we said, the purpose of the program was more to familiarize your society with one of the strongest contacts going on now between your society and the Zeta Reticuli, and that it did. So I thought that was quite informative with respect to, you know, Billy, that he certainly has, I think, you know, taken his share of criticism and ridicule. And I thought it was kind of neat to run into that information because I've always sort of, in my gut, enjoyed that book in particular, UFO from the Pleiades. And I understand that it's on eBay now, but it's like about $400. Those books are pretty much impossible to get a hold of. And sort of now moving on to other advice and interesting concepts that come from Bashar. And of course, Bashar says that you always get in physical reality only what you already believe to be the most likely reality you'll get. And only when you choose to truly believe with your whole heart and soul, this really is what I'm all about. This really is the way I prefer to be. When you generate that feeling and that desire and that energy within you, then your outer reality has absolutely no choice but to reflect that inner feeling, that inner knowingness. And he basically says it's as simple as that. Letting yourself know that vibration of truth for you is your vibratory frequency. The vibratory frequency that represents the being you chose to be, you will then tune yourself to that station. And when you tune yourself to that station and let your dial remain on that station, only the things that are pertinent to that station can be received by you. You know you can't receive anything other than what the station is that you are tuned to, but you must decide to tune to that frequency first. Otherwise, you are listening to a program you don't enjoy. Change the dial and change the program, and the program will change along with it. And I thought another interesting Basharism when one of the audience members at workshop said he really didn't get very excited about anything. And Bashar is telling him to follow his excitement. And I thought this kind of applies not only to the person that asked the question, but to all of us. He says, all right, the idea of wanting something to be exciting. What's wrong with right now being exciting? And Bashar says, do you remember the question we asked all of you as to what was the most important thing of all? And the answer was, what you're doing right now. Yes, the thing you're doing right now. Therefore, if you truly allow yourself to understand that what you are doing right now is, and must be by definition, the most important thing of all at any given moment, then you will start looking at it that way. When your attitude changes, you'll start realizing that you are where you are for a reason, and start allowing yourself to get out of the moment what you really need to, rather than assuming that this moment contains nothing for you that would generate excitement. The idea is to face your world with a childlike fascination. Then you'll begin to discover that a lot more things you take for granted as being mundane are actually quite a bit more exciting than you thought, and you will be able to act on them because you now see them for the excitement they are. Many of you have very thick skins by this time, and so things that could be exciting to you do not have much of an effect on you. You may not even be able to recognize your own excitement because of the thickness of that shell. But start walking through it. Allow yourselves to break through it by simply breaking through the conventions of your society. That will allow the skin to become much thinner and allow the excitement to penetrate much more easily. Then it will be obvious in which direction lies your excitement and your path. Again, the idea is to act upon your imagination. Here is a very simple mechanism, all of you, and that this will work for anything and everything. It's very simple. Your imagination is the template, the blueprint. If you conjure up in your imagination an image, a vision of how you prefer to be, then take whatever situation is going on in your life, hand it to the you have conjured up who is representative of the excited person you would prefer to be, and watch how the you in your imagination handles the situation you have given to it. Then copy it. You will get the effect that it gets in its excited state of handling all things in that excited way. That's what your imagination is for, to copy. It gives you the picture, the blueprint, the path, the methodology, the ritual, whatever will work best for you. Create an image and mimic the image. Then you will be that person and you will have that life automatically. That's what a child does. It sees and it becomes. It sees and it becomes. It does not question whether what it sees is valid. The child knows it is within integrity, so it doesn't have to stop to question it. It sees it, it becomes it, it expands and it grows. And you can do that. You can play too. It's all up to you. And I guess that one really ties into when Bashar says that outer circumstances don't matter, only your state of being matters. What state of being do you prefer? Well, if you prefer joy, then choose joy. See the outer circumstance from that perspective and act accordingly. More advice from Bashar, that feelings are secondary. Feelings are a reaction to a belief. They are secondary to beliefs. Feelings are not the primary experience of reality. Beliefs are the primary interface. First you believe something is true, then you get the feeling. Then you have the reinforcing thoughts, which may reinforce the belief. And then you regenerate more of the same feelings. But the feeling that you are incompetent comes from the fact that you simply choose to believe you are incompetent. It's your choice to believe that, but you don't have to. And one of the members of an audience said that I want to let go of it, and every time I try, I keep getting these little voices that tell me, remember this time, remember that time when so-and-so happened. And Bashar says, well, let them come up. So what? You see, you're trying to shut portions of yourself off. You think that when you integrate, you will never hear those voices again. And that's not true. You will always hear those voices. As a matter of fact, the more you integrate, the more you will hear them because you're accepting everything, every way you are into your life. And those are some of the ways you can exist. They come up not to show you that you have failed, not to show you are stuck. They keep coming up to give you the opportunity to realize how much you must have changed. You don't relate to them the same way you used to, unless, of course, you choose to do so. When you say, oh, well, look, the voices are still coming up, that must mean I have failed. That must mean I'm not doing the right thing the right way. You're choosing to maintain the same relationship with those voices. But you don't have to. The voices are there as an opportunity to realize you can form a different relationship with them. All right, here comes the voice. Well, remember when this happened that way? Well, yes, but so what? That was then. I've learned since then. And because you, oh wonderful voice, have now reminded me of the way I did it then, I have a great and positive opportunity to see how differently I'm going to do it now. And Bashar would also like the one when he talks about plant something different. Because as you believe in, so do you see out. As you sow, so you reap. That's what that means. The seeds you plant within yourself are what you are growing in the garden around you. If you do not like the flowers you are seeing, then change your order of seed. Plant different, and something new will grow. The inner is the outer. If the outer is not the way you prefer it to be, change the inner, and the outer will follow. And I like, obviously, his positive way of thinking. And when he talks about something positive, what phrases could I use that would be more beneficial to me? This is a question posed to Bashar. How does this serve me? Exactly the way it is. Exactly the way it is. How does it serve me? What can I learn? How can I positively learn something from this? When you let it be the way it is, that is when it has the greatest opportunity to change into something else. If you deny the form in which it comes, then you are not allowing yourself to see what is inherent within it. You are not allowing it to present itself in the way you have created it to present itself. You are denying your own creation, your own format. Only when you acknowledge your own format of delivering messages to yourself exactly and completely the way it comes to you, do you then create the conscious freedom to transform that delivery system into a way you prefer it to come. If you constantly treat your delivery system as if it is malfunctioning, then you are not listening to it. You are thinking something is going wrong within you, and therefore that's the belief you reinforce, and therefore that's the cycle you repeat. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. So, of course, your reality constantly reflects back to you. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Everything is just fine. In what you used to consider the most dire circumstances, let yourself realize everything is just fine. I'm in control of this. Look at how much control I have to have created such an absolutely exciting scenario. Everything seems to be wild and hither and thither and all over the place, and seemingly wild and unconnected and out of control. But since I know I'm controlling that, look at how much power I have. Are you beginning to get the idea? For the only thing you are experiencing is the idea that you have old habits that are difficult to break. If that's where you're coming from, all right. I have habits that I believe are difficult to change. So if I believe in the idea of habits, then I'll use the idea of habits in a positive way and create positive habits. I'm in control of everything, even when it seems like it's out of control. I'm controlling that. Get used to knowing and believing there is a positive manifestation that can occur from every scenario, with no exceptions. I felt like I was, but when I lost my job, I just went down. And Bashar answers, but you see, you assume that not being in that job for some reason has to be an inherently negative scenario. Why make that assumption? It's only an assumption. How do you know what losing that job may be making room for? Perhaps something you would just explode with delight to receive, that you wouldn't have room to receive if you still had the old job. Trust that when things like that occur in your life, if you know you are doing the best you can do at that moment, and those things still occur, then assume it's for a good reason, and let yourself see how it is for a good reason. Only when you insist that those things occur not for a positive reason, do you then keep the reason from coming to you that would let you see why you lost the job for a positive reason. Because you're sitting there moping on the idea. Oh, well, the only thing I can think of that losing my job means is that it must be negative. Something's wrong. And when you are focused in that way, you can't see the positive side of the coin. You can't see it until you choose to look at it. You have to decide consciously that you will look at the positive side of the coin in every single circumstance, or you will not be able to see positive manifestation. If you're constantly insisting that circumstances are inherently negative, then losing a job must be a bad thing. It has to be. Everyone knows that. Well, if that's the way you choose to look at it, that's the way you'll experience your reality. When you insist just as strongly that to lose a job must be leading to a more expanded and broader position or perspective or experience, that's what you'll get in your life. That's it. It's that simple, honest. And the guy goes on to say, I guess I got impatient because I did state that. I said that exactly. And what happened was I did get an interview for a job that paid more. And Bashar says, yes. And then what? Did you bring back the expectation? If I don't get this, I'm failing? And the guy says, yeah. Then when I blew the interview and I didn't get the job, you know, then I started to go into my old routine again. So Bashar says, remove the expectations. It doesn't have to manifest exactly as your ego or your habits think it should. It doesn't have to. Let it manifest along the path of least resistance. Stop fighting yourself. You do not have to push yourself into a mold. You fit exactly where you are. You do not have to conform to a particular idea of what success represents. You are successful exactly as you are. And, of course, that really connects to anxiety. And it's sometimes very scary doing something new. And one of the people asked if Bashar could give an example or suggestion, advice, for helping to let go of anxiety. And Bashar says, well, again, it can be very easily done when you recognize, as we have suggested, that anxiety and excitement are the same energy. If you understand that and start acting like you believe it, then you will feel the energy as excitement and not anxiety. It is not that you will get rid of the energy. It is not that you will not continue to feel the energy. It is that you will feel it in the way that is indicative of how you look at it. That's all. So know that it represents the discovery of something new, that the energy is there, the vibration is there, because you are on the threshold of more information, more awareness, and we assume that that's an exciting thing. Since you will never go faster than you are ready for, you do not have to worry. You will always be able to handle it because, again, if something came that you are not really able to handle, there would be no point to it, and the universe does not do pointless things. So trust that you always have a built-in governor saying, whoa, whoa, take your time, no rush, no hurry. Do what excites you the most in the way it excites you the most to do it, with integrity, and you'll always be being of service. Remember the things you are exploring now, the things you are learning now, will be some of the information you may impart to other individuals who wish to do the same thing later. So pay attention to what you are going through. You can use all of it in a positive way. Relax, laugh a little, laugh more about the ideas you're going through. And if you feel the anxiety, that's all right. Remember, anxiety is the same energy as excitement with judgment placed upon it. That's all it is. Relax the judgment and you will let go of the anxiety. It will turn into excitement and laughter. And you will giggle your way through life. So I just thought I'd share some of those tidbits of classical advice from Bashar. And, of course, putting a positive spin on outer circumstances, I think, clearly is one of his top two, you know, key suggestions. And in fact, Bashar goes so far as to say that putting a positive spin on outer circumstances is the primary responsibility of the rational mind. And we've said many times that we challenge listeners to ET Yoga to take any outer circumstance, and because they do not come with built-in meaning. And I think this is the most critical concept to understand, that one man's meat's another's poison, and two people can view the same circumstance, and one is the most exciting thing that they've ever done, and the other it's just a terrible nightmare. So the idea is that we give meaning to outer circumstances, and thus our experience comes from that. And it really is reality creation, to throw positive spin on outer circumstance, and especially when you've got the overview to be able to throw a positive spin on something that 9 out of 10 people would view as a negative. It doesn't matter what 9 out of 10 people think about any outer circumstance. What matters is what spin do you put on it, and that's the experience that you'll get. And we challenge people to, even if you can't see any possible way that the outer circumstance can have a positive outcome, we challenge you, log the experience, you know, state what the experience was, and try your best to just even say to yourself, I don't see how anything good can come from this, but I'm going to put a positive emotion on this. I think something really great and exciting will come from this outer experience. And then log it. Keep track and see how eventually it turns out. Maybe it won't turn out for a day, a week, maybe 6 months or a year. But if keep a log of it and see after you put a really powerful spin on the outer circumstance and see how it really turns out. And I think that once you see that that works, it actually is stunning. It's just shocking because, wow, it works. And that's really magic in my way of thinking. And I'd like at this time to remind people that if you've got suggestions or topics that you'd like to hear on ET Yoga, to email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, that's paperfungo@yahoo.ca, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And if you're interested in the topics about disease and healing the unknown, that's at maxwellgreensite.com. Maxwell is in Maxwell House Coffee, green is in the color, site.com. And there's everything on that site from extraterrestrial meditations to some archive shows from ET Yoga. They're very reasonable, I think in 1995 on the site. You can even get one on total immunity from disease. The tape with the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation on it has the Merkaba technique on there, as well as the extraterrestrial XYZ meditation. It's got a tape full of interesting techniques that that you can do, including the Pleiadian recommendations for the pillar of light and spinning techniques. So all that's at maxwellgreensite.com, and some free downloads there as well for those who are in abusive relationships or want more information on self-empowerment. Free downloads at maxwellgreensite.com. And so at this time, I'd just like to say my sincerest wishes for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and I hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness